Hello, and welcome to the Loft Gathering Podcast. Here at the Loft, our mission is reconciliation. We truly hope this podcast draws you into a new sense of belonging within the loving arms of Jesus Christ. Let's get started.
Now, y'all look so good. So good to see you. Sunday morning, come in a place you can worship God. It's just complete and utter abandonment of self and step into the presence of God. So good. A couple things I'm going to tell you. We always have something fun going on here. So after service today, we're going to have barbecue. And because it was like a torrential downpour was forecast, but not till noon. So Angie's out there working hard for us. Angie Mark out there getting those burgers on the grill. And if you're a dad today, you get a second burger. You get a double burger for the price of one because we love you that much. Where's the beef? It's going to be great. And then it's $15 a plate. Have your friends and family come by after church if they want to join us. But we're going to eat downstairs just in case the rain. The second thing is we're going to have a trivia night here. Yeah. I say we're going to have a trivia night here. It's going to be great. Now, we have fun at these things, and they're not just all Bible trivia. So, you know, it's going to be a lot of different subject matter, and our own Marianne and Rick are in charge of it. So it could even be a little bit, I don't even know what it could be. It could be anything. And so details will come for that, but save the date, August 14th. It's a Friday night. Friday night right here in your very own Loft Church. So prizes will be won. And bragging rights. We're really good on bragging rights around here. If you win anything in this church, you talk about how good you did for forevermore. If you do the chili and you make the best chili, you're going to talk about it for a long time, right? Who was the last chili cook-off winner? See what I'm saying? That's how it goes. It's so good. So, you know, I got a chance to get away with Jesse and then Scott, and then Jesse's boyfriend came down for a little while to Florida, and we just had a few days to just rest and rethink. I'm trying to figure out what the new normal is with my mom not on the planet anymore. And it's kind of weird, you know, I'm trying to figure it out. Like what do you do now? And what do you do with that time? And I'm not filling it. I'm just letting the Lord speak. And while we were down there, you know, it just so happened. It wasn't planned, but it just so happened that Stephen Starr came down there at the same time. And it was in a close enough area that we could meet and have some lunch together. And we did, and I'm just telling you all that because this is when you get away from home and you're sitting and looking at the ocean and you're having some extremely overpriced, you know, fish and burger, that you are thinking about what is this conversation? What does it look like? And so we started talking about parenting, and wouldn't it be ironic that it's Father's Day? Because, you know, I was going to have my friend Jack Harris come in today, but he got called away to a funeral. And one of his friend's wives passed just this last couple days ago. And so he hated to cancel because he hasn't gotten in here yet. And I was like, it's okay. I would be in the same place. I'd be doing the same thing if it was my friend. That's where I would be. That's where I would be too. And so anyway, Jack couldn't come. We pray that he just has an incredible time of ministry and love with his friend and with the people that he's with now. But I got to sit with Stephen Starr. And so we talked about parenting. And here we have Father's Day. And so I usually am not real big on doing these messages. I feel like I keep saying this now. But we're going to talk about what it means to have a father, you know, and what it means to not have one. And the Bible teaches us that we don't even have many fathers, so we should lean into the ones that we do have that are good. God is a good father. He is perfect in all of his ways before us, right? I'm not going to tell you anything you don't know, but I'm going to believe God to heal the things that are broken between us and our dads, between us and our heavenly father. So when I was sitting with Stephen Starr, we told a couple stories. I asked my husband too, before we got here this morning, I said, hey, what are the best and highest attributes of a father? What are they in your estimation? His first thing he said was provision. Fathers provide. A good father provides. And I go, what's the second thing? He goes, protection. Good fathers protect their kids and their grandkids and any kids, actually. It's just you're either a man or you're not. You either do it or you don't. You have this thing in you or you don't have it. But I believe God can set it in every one of us. A thing that says, I'll take responsibility for that. But that's none of your business. I'm going to make it mine. You know, bought by the blood of Jesus, living life on purpose. And so I was sitting with Stephen Starr, and I asked Steve this morning too, What is the best traits of a father? Because these are two incredible dads that I know that are right here in our presence this morning. And he goes, well, just being able to have a kid is like amazing. He goes, but your legacy, what do you leave? You leave legacy. You leave something to be remembered. You're known for something. Because how many know that you're going to live your life and then you're going to die? How many know that? Yep, you're all going to. How many of you are going to pass? 100%. All those of you didn't raise your hand, it's still going to be you. And so one day you will cross the threshold of this life to the afterlife, to eternity, where we all get to be together forever with the Lord. If we believe those things, I believe those things. And so you want to leave things behind that the next generation could grab a hold of, like work ethic. I sent my daughter Jessie a meme the other day. It said, and it was like, we send each other these crazy Barbie back and forth memes. They look really wild. But one of them said, when your parents hand you down a good work ethic instead of a fortune. And it's Barbie on her way to work. And I was like, you're welcome, you know, or sorry, however you see it. But there are things to be left behind for the next generation. There are things to impart along the way. And just like there's good traits that dads have, there are also bad ones that dads have. And we're going to talk about those in a little bit too. But I wanted to read the scripture to us and in the terms of being not lighthearted, but intentional to say, man, you're a dad and it matters. How many of you have a dad? That's everyone. Deceased or alive, you have a dad, right? You've had a dad. You were born. You're not here without one. Just gonna, in case you didn't get that part. But, you know, you have a dad, and you've had a dad. And there are some things that have to take place. Like, for me, I had two bad dads. A stepdad who was cruel and abusive. A biological sperm donor dad who was absent. And is still absent. He's sitting in a nursing home now. Doesn't even know who I am, you know. Sometimes he does. Sometimes he doesn't. But he never did, is the point. And when you have two bad dads, or even one, and you've suffered any kind of abuse at someone else's hand, it's very difficult to look at God as a father. Now, if I said, how many of you had good dads? I know Christine would raise her hand. I know Rick would. Some of us would raise our hands. All of my kids would, of course. And just, babe, you're the goat. You're the real goat. You know, it's like all the stuff, you know, that happens that is abusive and hard, though, makes it real hard to see God as a father. And we pray to God the Father, and we call on God the Father. And there's a big gap between our experience and who God is. When God wants us to come so close to him by the presence of the Holy Spirit that we let him embrace us as a father and speak to us. Doesn't that sound good? It does. Father, move among your people. Speak your life to your people this morning. I'm going to read you 1 Corinthians 14:15. It's okay, Milo. It won't be too long. It won't be too long. 1 Corinthians 14:15, it says this. Even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, yet you would not have many fathers who led you to Christ and assumed responsibility for you. For I became your father in Christ, Jesus, through the good news of salvation. So I urge you, be imitators of me, just as a child imitates his father. You know, we like to use the scripture with Paul talking, you know, hey, follow me as I follow Christ. Be an imitator of me as I follow Christ. But the context says, be a father. Assume responsibility for people. This is a gender neutral, okay? Because even if you have never born children in your own body, there is something about being a spiritual parent that rings true through the entire gospel of reconciliation. And every one of us has the ministry of reconciliation. And so if we can ask God to give us the spirit that Paul had here, Paul wasn't a physical father. He's a spiritual father. And he took it upon himself to care about Timothy and to care about those that he brought up in the faith underneath him. He assumed responsibility for them. Can we get that phrase down on the inside of us to assume? Do you assume responsibility for anybody besides yourself? The gospel calls us to be disciple makers, disciples who make disciples. We always say that in this church, we're making disciples out of Christians. It's what we're doing. And everywhere that I have the privilege to be and speak and talk to people, I'm trying to make disciples out of Christians. That means you get up off of your blessed assurance and you begin to move in the things that God called you to do and to be. Not just hear it and blah, 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 another message on a Sunday. But something that settles on you, where you assume responsibility. I'm going to read you the context of of some of this, what Paul was saying. So you get a, this is the Amplified Bible, by the way, which I usually don't preach out of, but man, it really opens it up. And he's talking, you know, to the church at Corinth, and he's not there. And he's sending his letter in his place to speak about how things should be. And here's what he's saying. I'll start in verse 4. He says, so let us who minister be regarded as servants of Christ, stewards, trustees, administrators of the mysteries of God, those that he chooses to reveal. Sometimes you think of the pastor and leader as just the highest rank in these high offices. We're not high. We're the servant. We administrate church things. We play in church in the park. We throw a women's advance together so somebody might have a healing. We serve. It's our calling. It's our job. We're not higher than you. We're doing the same work. Do you get what I'm saying? God appoints some to have an administrative gift and a pastoring, shepherding gift that leads everybody together, but we're administers of the gospel. In this case, he says, moreover, it is required, it's essential, it's even demanded that stewards be found faithful and trustworthy. And as for me personally, though, he says, this is how I love Paul. He goes, it really doesn't matter to me if you judge me or not. He says, it matters very little to me that I may be judged by you or any human court on this point. In fact, I do not even judge myself. I'm aware of nothing against myself. I feel blameless. You know, that's the whole story of justification, bought with a price by the blood of Jesus. So you can stand up and say, I'm going to be okay. This is the qualifier to become the father or the spiritual parent. Not because you're great, because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Okay? I'm aware of nothing against me. I feel blameless. But I'm not by this acquitted before God. It is the Lord who judges me. So do not go passing judgment before the appointed time, but wait until the Lord comes. He will both bring light of the secret things that are hidden in darkness and disclose the motive of hearts. Put that holy water right on us. Then each one's praise will come from God. And now I have applied all these things, all these analogies, all these factions to myself and Apollos for your benefit. Why did he tell us these stories? For our benefit, believers, so that you may learn not to go beyond what is written in Scripture, so that none of you will become arrogant or boast in favor of one minister or teacher against another. Who regards you as superior? What sets you apart is special. What do you have that you did not receive from another? And in fact, you received it from God or someone else. So why boast as if you had not received it? He's qualifying, he's correcting, he's setting us on the path of what we should be doing and what we should be listening to. And in the back of your mind, how can we be spiritual parents? He says, verse 8, you behave as if you are already filled with spiritual wisdom and you need nothing more. When you don't move or ask or lead or create a place where you're making a disciple, bringing someone else alongside to the Lord, then we become like almost stagnant. You know, Steve said this morning, men are made to serve. We're made to. Women are too. But men specifically, head of the house, to protect, to keep. And if we don't serve, we become very stagnant and very unfulfilled in life. And you can find yourself in a murmuring, fault-finding, and complaining attitude. And it can be settled with serving. Serving your family first. Firm believer that charity begins at home. He goes, already you've become rich in spiritual gifts, and in your conceit have ascended your thrones and become kings without us. How I wish it were true that you did reign as kings so that we might reign with you. For I think God exhibited us apostles at the end of the line, like men sentenced to death, paraded as prisoners in procession, because we have become a spectacle to the world sometimes, a show in the world's amphitheater, both to angels and men, regarded as fools for Christ. But you who are wise in Christ, we are weak. You're strong. You're highly esteemed, but we're dishonored. I don't know if you can tell, he has a little sarcasm in his voice. He says, to this present hour, we're both hungry and thirsty. We're continually poorly dressed, roughly treated, wander homeless. We work for a living. We work with our hands. When we're reviled, we're abused, we bless. When we're persecuted, we take it patiently and we endure. When we're slandered, we try to be conciliatory and answer softly. We've become like the scum of the world, the dregs of all things, even till now. I don't know if you noticed this little sidebar, and I will get to the stories, I promise. They're things you take home. But all this is the bedrock, all this part right here. But the Baptist Convention decided that women are banned from ministering and preaching the gospel. Did y'all see that? What a disgrace. You know, if we're going to follow the Bible, let's remember when Jesus told Mary Magdalene to go and tell the disciples that he's alive. If we're going to go by the Bible, let's remember that even Paul appointed women pastors in the church. And we take a couple scriptures that are not what we're trying to believe. They come from culture. You know, my husband likes to say it like this. I'm just saying this because we're slandered, we're reviled, we're told what we can do and what we can't do. People make fun of Christians in movies and in sitcoms and in stories all the time. It's like, I don't receive that. I'm not going to have it. I'm going to go ahead and wear the coat that my father gave me, and I'm going to do the work that the Lord has appointed me to do. And so Scott likes to say it like this. If the Bible says women remain silent in the church, this is just for free this morning. It also says, greet one another with a kiss. Did you prepare all of your people to kiss one another when they walked in the door? And then a pastor in this very light will say, well, that's a cultural thing. Oh, it is. Oh, so that's a cultural thing, but this is not a cultural thing. Biblical ignorance. Read the whole Bible and speak out of what God is trying to do. God never intended for ladies to be silent. And it's not an excuse to hide behind a husband or a man either. God called us. It's time to shine. So all these things that happen, we're considered the scum of the earth. We're conciliatory in our answers. We wrath comes against us and we just bless anyway, right? And God helps us to do those things, because I'll tell you, some of those things will make you mad. But when God has ordained you and called you, like he's called you, saints of God, he called you for a purpose. There's something in you that the world is starving for. The world needs something, some of your depth, some of your wisdom, some of your compassion, some of your empathy. And if you can take the responsibility of it and look and pray and ask the Lord for the eyes of Samuel to see where David is, God will show you who to raise up. Who should I be spending time with? Who should I be investing into? The first answer is my legacy. And he says in verse 14, I'm not saying these things to shame you, but to warn and advise you as beloved children. He's fathering right here. Even if you were to have 10,000 teachers to guide you in Christ, you would not have many fathers who led you to Christ and assumed responsibility for you. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the good news of salvation, and I urge you, be imitators of me, just as a child imitates his father. And for this reason, I've sent Timothy to you. He's my beloved, faithful child in the Lord. And he will remind you of my way of life in God, my conduct, my precepts for godly living, just as I teach everywhere in every church. Now listen. A good father, when I made my list of what the traits are in a father, it's a man that loves God and leads his family according to God's will and word. What does God's word say? You have to be in it to know how to lead your family in it. Women too. This isn't just for men. You know, this is not the hair coloring just for men. This is for everybody. Everybody come in. Everybody receive the word of the Lord and then teach the next generation in it. My first thing was to love was my first thing, to love. My second thing was to lead and define. Because if we don't define our kids, the world will do it. So when we call our kids things, you know, like if we call them joyful and we call them beautiful and they're a little joy and delight, that's what I tell my little grandkids. You're a joy and a delight. I'll look them right in the eye. And they are. You know, they're innocent and they're growing and they're strong and they're smart. If we speak words that break them down, we do a disservice to our legacy and what we leave behind, because our voice becomes the voice in their head. Our voice and what we say and what words we use can either scold or they can heal. They can build or they can tear down. But our voice becomes the voice in their head when you're not around. My son-in-laws, good men, godly men, let God pour his spirit on you that your words become life-giving and instructional from the word of God. May God's word just burn in your heart. I mean, that's my people. That's who I'm going to lean into and pray for and speak to. And all of you, do the same for your families. This is powerful stuff. So how does it work out? You know, how does this stuff actually play out? Because when I was sitting with Bomber and Scott, we were talking about parenting. They both have daughters. And Bomber has a son too. And with the girls growing up, with a dad having girls for children, you're always ready to fight. You're always ready to protect. You're always ready to defend them, whatever might come. You know why? Because you know what you were when you were a young boy, a young lad looking for a beautiful girl. And so fathers, man, they defend that stuff and they get radical too. So I was sitting with these guys and Steve told me about a story. I asked him if I could share it. I was going to tell it anyway, but he did give me permission. But here's the thing. He goes, you know, when my kids were coming up, he goes, I told them, he's military, you know, him and Star both. And he goes, I'll tell you what, if you ever bring any illicit drugs in this house, if you ever bring any drugs in this house or do drugs, I will take a leave. I will take a 30-day leave and we will sit in this house, me and you, and we will read scripture every single day of your life. It was like a prison sentence. The children were like, never, we're never going to do drugs. And they never did. And I believed him when he said it. Have you ever seen his children? They're fabulous people. They're like mine. They're great, great kids carrying kingdom stuff. You know, we talked about the girls. You know, all of our daughters are beautiful. You know, they're gorgeous. And these boys would come in our house, try to take our girls on a date. And so Scott, at one time, I can't remember, I think it was Christy, but he's sitting at the table cleaning his guns. When this boy came, this poor 17-year-old boy, he's like, oh, yeah, you don't do that, babe. He got his guns all out, cleaning his guns. He doesn't even look up at the kid, not once. I'm like, we're going to take pictures. He came home. He goes, all I'm going to say is you better be back here at midnight. I'll find you. You know, something like that. Chrissy's like, oh my God. Another time, you know, this poor boy, fell asleep at our house and was there in the morning when we all woke up. Poor boy. 17. So we go down and they're under a blanket, TV's on, and they're asleep on our couch, and Scott's like, get up! What are you doing in my house? He's gritting his teeth. He's so mad. He can't even believe it. Picks this kid up. I've never seen. I mean, I know that he's strong. I didn't know he was that strong. Picked this kid up from the ground and got him to the wall of our home. And now some of you might think, that's abuse. Doesn't matter. You're out of your mind when it comes to protecting what is yours. It's like a grizzly bear. You will not come near what I have. And in the spirit, we can all become this too. You know, he puts this kid against the wall and I'm trying to get in between him. I'm like, he's 17. Husband's got a fist. I'm like, don't hit him. He's 17. Don't do it. You know, and Christy's crying and Jesse's like, you could have handled that better, Dad. You know, and the whole thing. But it was a demonstration of love and power and protection. And I will protect you. And there's one more. You know, this one right here. It's a beautiful one. You know, she goes to spend the night with somebody and accidentally had an encounter with alcohol, didn't even know she was doing it. It was some kind of punch and juice. Or, I'm sure she knew, but I'll give her the benefit of doubt. So, yeah. Drank too much. Didn't know how fast it was going to hit her and ends up just obliterated. And her friend left her there and took her phone. So I'm texting her. I'm like, where are you at? You know? She goes, can I just spend the night with Megan? Please, please, please. Well, she never said please, please, please in her life. So I knew that. I was like, what are you doing? You know, no, I got that discerning feeling. That what? And I said, who is this? So I go to this kid's house in the middle of the night. Me and Scott kidnap a teenager out of her house. I said, I'm coming to your house, and you're going to take me to this place where my daughter is. I will wake everyone in your house up. She comes out. She's like, no, don't do that. I'll meet you out there. And so we get this kid out of her house, take her to find our daughter in the middle of the night. Does that sound crazy to you? That's the way we roll around here. And if you ever need us, we'll do the same. We'll find you. We'll do everything that we can do to kick in the door and bring you out. That's what a love of a parent does. I couldn't sleep. I can't just lay in my bed and pretend, oh, she'll figure it out. She'll get it on her own. No, she will get the protection and safety of us if we have to drive this car through that house. And that's what we ended up saying. You tell them we're getting ready to drive our car through here if they don't bring her out. You're just out of your mind. And protection, it's the reckless love of God. It's like, I can't do anything until I can see her and I know she's safe. Do you feel the passion of this, people? Is that godly? You better believe it. Do you think the cross was soft? It wasn't. It was brutal. It was everything it takes to get you. Everything, every piece of blood that I have to get her back. Don't have many fathers, you guys. We have a lot of teachers, and a lot of people who will speak to us about what's right and what's wrong and where to go and how to be. But we don't have many fathers. Fathers to lead and instruct and to assume responsibility for us. We can see it here modeled. The Bible gives us a zillion examples of it, starting with Paul and Timothy. Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, peace, and God the Father. My true son in the faith. Do we have any of these? Do we have true sons and daughters in the faith? Let's get some. Let's reach out and pull somebody in and teach them the things about God that we know. Let's create a sphere of influence outside of here. You know, I was at the barbecue last week and somebody invited somebody from the other church to come to our church. And I was like, nope, that's not it. We want to invite people from outside of the church walls into the church. If someone's broken and out of church, that's another story. Acquire some spiritual children. Priscilla and Aquila, we see that. Paul spends time with Priscilla and Aquila in a mentoring way, and where they become parental figures in Paul's life, showing him how to do ministry and work at the same time. It's pretty powerful. We have bad dads too. We have bad dads in the Bible. We have that guy Lot who offers his two daughters to the strangers, so that the angels of God won't be molested. It's like in our culture today, that would never fly. No way, you're a bad dad, Lot. How many know there's fathers that offer their daughters today? Bad dads. Bad dads corrupt the whole thing. But in the kingdom of God, you know, like what happened to me? I had like two bad dads, and the one that was abusive was just real neglectful. And then when he did speak to me, it was always derogatory and always a foul name or some kind of foul spirit. And it tried to crush me. But there's something in me. I don't know. I was like, I don't think I'm going to let you call me that. I think I'm going to go ahead and believe that there's something better in life. And it became rebellion for the longest time until I met Jesus. And then Jesus told me, you don't need that chip on your shoulder anymore because I got you. I'm going to love you and protect you. And you know, when you have the other dad that's absent, it's like the qualities that happen along the way in you, it's either you're gonna be bitter or better. And you have to choose better every time. You have to choose it. It doesn't just fall on you. You got to go after it. And then God will speak. God spoke something to me. He was like, if you could think of your, when I say God speaks to me, it's an impression that I have, a thought that comes to my mind that heals me. And so the thought was, the Bible there that you're reading, that's my journal. If your father passed away and left you a journal to read, and you could look like my mom passed, and I'm reading all of her notes. I'm looking at all the insight that she had and everything she was studying and all the things she was looking forward to in the next Bible study and all the notes that are there. They're so good. And I want every bit of that. The Bible's like that from our Father God. He leaves you his thoughts, his intentions, his plans, his rules, his blessings. It's all right there. And when you start to take it in like that and you become a child of God, there's a healing that takes place. And then that chasm between what was ruptured and broken from my bad dads, it became like whole in the spirit and presence of God. Well, I'm a daughter of God. His daughter. His daughter. What can I not do? What is not open to me? It's not arrogance. It's confidence. He has blessed my life. He speaks to me. I'm his favorite. He talks to me in terms like that, and he wants to talk to you like that too. A couple of practical thoughts. I mean, one more bad dad. We have to mention David, because David is an incredible king. He's a public figure. Awesome in the throne. Terrible domestically. Allows one son to rape another daughter. He didn't allow that act, but he didn't do anything about it. He abdicated his authority. Which, by the way, that's one of the worst traits a dad can carry. Just abdicate it. Just forget about it. Let somebody else take it. The spirit of Ahab. Let somebody else be in charge of that. No. Step up into it and assume responsibility and carry it. David does nothing. Anyway, you guys know that story. I'm not going to spend any more time on it. I want you to get to your burgers really quick. But listen to this. Some primary instructions and conduct for dads. For good dads. If you're a father, apply them to your home. If you're a grandfather, apply them to your family. If you are without physical children, apply this to your spirit, men and women. Here's the first one. Ephesians 6:4 says, fathers, do not provoke your children to anger. Bring them up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. You know, I used to be real sarcastic. I know you guys are thinking you used to be, but no, I used to just not have a filter. I would just keep going and roll out the sarcasm. And the Lord showed me this scripture because the kids don't understand some of it. They do catch it. This one right here is pretty good at catching what we say and what we, you know, what we joke about. But you can't provoke them until they're angry because it breaks their spirit. We don't want to break their spirit. We want to break that will. And we can do that with instruction and leadership. But we don't want to provoke until they're angry. It's one of our downfalls in society, especially fathers, I think. Secondly, Colossians 3:21, it says, fathers, should not provoke your children lest they become discouraged. We don't want angry, discouraged kids. We want them full of life. It doesn't mean you let them just go do whatever they want, be little brats. You have to speak and teach and lead and set boundaries, and they'll be healthy. Psalm 103, it says, a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. This is the kind of fear that's reverent. It's about respect. You know, we can build those things. When we say things like, if you ever bring drugs into this house, I will take 30 days off and speak to your life from the word. See what I'm saying? I'm going to assume responsibility for that. Get in the trenches. This is one of my favorite ones, Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Train up a child in the way he should go. And meditate on it. What does it mean? And if you're going to train up a spiritual child, then you should still be asking God for those eyes of Samuel to see where David is, and then give an invitation that he might join you, and then go ahead and speak life and purpose the way they should go. Everyone has a bent and a calling. Everyone has a certain way that they are driven, whatever the word is. Certain callings, certain anointings in people's lives. And you got to ask the Lord, if I'm going to train up this spiritual child in the way you should go, don't think of a toddler, spiritual moms and dads. Think of the people that are coming into your sphere, people that come into your home, people that you see out and about all week long that are not sitting next to you right now, that will be. Train them up in the way they should go. One more. Proverbs 20 says, the righteous who walk in his integrity, blessed are his children after him. They leave a legacy. The righteous who walks in his integrity, blessed are the children who come after him. Blessed. Blessed. You guys, the resolve of the message today is we don't have many fathers, so follow the ones that are good and become one that is good. Will you stand up with me?
Thanks for listening. You can learn more about the Loft Gathering by visiting us at loftgathering.org or joining us for a worship service at 10:30 a.m. on Sunday. Till next time, be blessed.